Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey guys, what's up? Dr. Tom here, and you're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 37, Vulnerability is Key. Happy Friday. Hope you had an awesome week so far. If you've been enjoying The Positivity Effect, please head over to iTunes and leave a review. It means so much, and it helps get the word out there about the show. So guys, thank you so much for leaving those reviews. Today, Matthew McSpadden is back to talk about his morning routine, his core mission with Do Over Life, and we journey deep into topics like vulnerability and communication. Such an honor, again, to have Matthew on, and you can connect with him at matthew@dooverlife.com. And if you didn't hear yesterday's episode, please listen to hear about Matthew's story of how he overcame grief and how you can too. So without further delay, let's welcome Matthew back to the show. Matthew, what's up? Welcome to day two. Glad to have you back. Thanks. On The Positivity Effect.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Absolutely. And let's jump right into it. Matthew, when you hear the word gratitude, what comes to mind?
Honestly, my routine that I do in the morning. I spend about 15 minutes in the morning as soon as I wake up being grateful. And I believe that if I looked at my life and I was able to like see it in view of a camera, I would say that doing that first 15 minutes is the most important, the most crucial, the most vital thing that I do throughout the entire day.
And when you have that powerful routine, you know, when it's and it's implemented day in and day out, that's when you really start to see the magic happen, right? Where your days just start to improve because you start your day off. We always talk about Monday. Like if you start Monday off on a really poor note, it really can lead into the rest of your week. And it's like a ripple effect, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I am so key on having a grateful just life in general that I decided couple years ago that I would do a grateful first few minutes, and then it just turned into a routine that I do every day when I wake up. But I decided that I had to become more positive, more grateful. I had to become a person that I wanted to be around. You probably have listeners out there that are searching for something positive in their life. And so that's why they're listening to this show. And so I was that person a couple years ago. And so I was searching through books and audiobooks and pamphlets and PDFs. Mm-hmm. And I really was searching for a way to live a more positive life. And everybody kept coming back to develop a positive routine in the morning. And so that's what I've done.
And, you know, it's a lot of people listening, and you know, this was me, you know, in my own mind a little while back, was I wanted to do over what I was doing and, you know, my direction in life. And that's exactly what you do. And the way that you're providing value to this world now is you're helping others, you know, do over their life. So let's talk about, you know, just the value that you do and the coaching that you provide for people, and really, you know, what has been some of your experiences with that? And, you know, I'd really love for you to just kind of drive in, you know, who, you know, your core values with Do Over Life and really what your mission is with Do Over Life.
Yeah. So Do Over Life started kind of, as we've been talking about, through a really raw series of events in my own life. And so I just decided that I had to become something that I was not. I had to realize that I was not a positive person, that I wasn't a person that could even run at the time. I wasn't a person that could have a conversation at the time, but I had to become something that I was not. And so that's where Do Over Life came from. And the people that I coach are people that have gone through a lot of different grief. Most of them that come to me as clients are divorced, and they're just looking for some place to start again. And it's kind of interesting that we've been talking about gratitude and positivity, because that is the first, on the first coaching call, that's what I have them implement, is a morning gratitude ritual, because I think it's so important. It's proved itself in my life. And so I teach that to the clients that come on board with me. And I would say that they all have different responses, but none of them has said, yeah, being grateful in the morning has really turned out really awful for me because of X. Nobody said that. Everybody has come out of it with a positive experience. And so that's, well, I would say that just the theory behind Do Over Life is simply, or the slogan behind Do Over Life is, Do Over Life, we believe that overcoming grief matters. And yes, so it looks different for a lot of different people, but most of the clients that come on board that I coach are divorced.
Matthew, would you say if somebody asked you 5 years ago, Matthew, are you going to, you're going to be a coach one day? What would you say to that person?
No.
Right? And it's
not
just,
at all.
And it's amazing, right? Like, I think that's important for all of us to hear, that is that everybody is going through something, and doesn't have to maybe necessarily look like what you're doing on the scale of what you're doing and how you're impacting, you know, you're impacting a lot of people, but it could be in your own your own world, you know, your circle of, if you're struggling with something, like we said yesterday, there's chances are somebody else is struggling with the same thing, and somebody probably, you know, very closely.
Yes.
And we're so afraid today. You know, I don't know what it is, but we're so afraid to just have conversations. We're so afraid to be vulnerable with the ones, you know, people that we love. And it stops so much. It stops our progress when we're afraid to be vulnerable.
I think that is the key in my own life. I'm seeing just spots in conversations with coaching clients, and then with family, and then with friends, and then with people I meet just in passing, that I'm not always, I'm probably not half the time as vulnerable as I should be, because it's only in those vulnerable places that we have real conversations with real people that matter. And so I have to become, in my own life, I have to become more vulnerable if I'm ever going to see the fruits of that, which are the things that matter: good friendships, good family, good relationships. And so I think in my own life, that just really rings true with me. I have to become more vulnerable.
Matthew, do you ever have this experience where you're talking to somebody that's very close to you, and you know, you just have this feeling, it's you can't put a finger on it, but it's like there's just some, like an elephant in the room, you know?
Yes.
For whatever reason. And for all of a sudden, somehow, somebody, one of the two parties, just somehow opens up this line of communication that hasn't been there in a long time. And it's like, all of a sudden, you just get this absolute, like, calm in your chest. You know, you get this feeling of like, wow, I've been waiting to talk about this forever. And it's like, it's funny, like, both parties didn't even recognize that probably both parties were thinking the same thing. And it just, all it took was a little courage on one side to just say, hey, you know, we got to talk about this. This is really, you know, it's impeding on our relationship. And it's amazing what comes out of those conversations.
Yeah, I can tell you a quick example on that. I went through counseling coming out of the three situations that I've been through: stroke, brother dying, and divorce. But I distinctly remember in about 2011, and going through counseling about the stroke that I had in 2010. And I was sitting in a room. There was no couch involved, but I was just sitting at a desk with this counselor. And he just said, well, Matthew, why'd you come? And I said, and it took so much courage, but I finally got out. I had a stroke. And it was just like this weight had been lifted off of me. It was as if this weight had been lifted off the room, and I was free to talk about all the things that included that because I said I had a stroke. And so the question that I would ask you listeners is, what is it in your life that if you talk about it with people and you're open about it with them, what is it that can happen if you do that? Because I believe in my life, it's only the best conversations have come out of the what I thought was the worst possible thing, like I had a stroke or I had a divorce. But that's when the best conversations happen.
Right. And like, if we're talking about doing that exercise, you know, if you're, maybe you have, you sit down, maybe you write about it in a journal, is it's the thing that when you go to it in your mind, you like immediately, you know, metaphorically, you feel like you're 1,000 pounds heavier, you know?
Yes.
And it's like you said, once you said, I had a stroke, it was like you had wings. It was like 1,000 pounds had been lifted off your shoulders, and you were able to just run with it, and your mind had amazing clarity, and it's taken to you the point where you are today, where now you're helping others with the same struggles, you know, and that's really powerful.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but I'll just say it like this: vulnerability is key to having great conversation. Great relationships, great family, great friends. I believe that it starts with being vulnerable.
Right. Even with, like, we think about the secrets that we hold in our heart, you know, and like whatever that is, whatever those secrets look like, if you are going to sleep at night when you put your head on the pillow and you're thinking about one of those things and you're thinking that if you were to tell somebody it's going to hurt them, you know, that's really where that work has to come in. Is you may have to have that really difficult conversation, you know? Yeah. And maybe it may not be with the direct person, you know, because maybe it was something that happened so long ago. But if you're able to just get it out and have the conversation with somebody to help you at least process what's going on in your mind, like, you have to get to the point where when you put your head down at night, there's, you know, it's just gratitude that you have that you lived, mm-hmm. you lived today with your utmost effort, and you seek to lift others up, you know, and lift yourself up as well. You know, sometimes we always talk about helping other people, but we also got to just be selfish once in a while and take care of ourselves. Like we're talking about yesterday, being that beacon of light, like the lighthouse. If we just focus on taking care of ourselves, usually people just pick up on it in our own circle. And you know, because a lot of the times we don't recognize it, but people that love us, if we're struggling or going through something, they don't need help from us. They just want to see that we're taking care of ourselves. And then all of a sudden, this ripple effect of, oh, he's doing better, he's feeling better, or she's up on the up and up, and she's doing better. I feel better now too, and it's an interesting effect, you know, when we actually take care of ourselves.
Agreed. I think that's why you're a doctor.
To try to help people, right?
Yes.
And but I always think about it in my own life, you know. Is I constantly myself throughout my whole life, there's always things that I'm struggling with, but what I try to do is really I think about them. I really try to take them out and stick it out in front of my mind and kind of turn it around and analyze it and see how, you know, what kind of change do I need to make? Because I realized in my own life that the more you just sit on something, man, it totally just stops everything. It stops progress. It stops relationships. It kills everything.
There's a great book kind of on this subject about vulnerability. It's called Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. I believe that's how you say her first name, Brené. And so have you read that book?
No, I have. I love the title.
It's an amazing book. I think it came out like in 2010, maybe. I mean, it's an older book. I mean, it hadn't come out in the last couple of years. But it's she's a licensed sociologist, I believe, maybe psychologist, but she talks about just what we've been talking about. If you'll open up the conversation with where your struggles are, it kind of brings the walls that other people may have and brings them down.
Right. And then it's like all of a sudden, if you have the courage to step up, all of a sudden the person that you're talking to, they're probably going through something too. You know, you could even be.
Absolutely.
I would say, I would ask you this question. I'm sure even, you know, if you go to a therapist and you're going to the therapist for help for something, all of a sudden you start sharing a story, and maybe the therapist is having a tough day. And all of a sudden, right, they probably share stories about their day too. And it's like both people leave that conversation, man, just thankful for that conversation. And in my own field, Matthew, you know, like I help people with their hearing, and I help people just, you know, they're having difficulty hearing, or they had, you know, lost their hearing, or they weren't born with hearing. And when I think about what do I do as an audiologist, or I'm having a rough day and I got to go into the office and I'm thinking about just a rough day, I just wish I was home sleeping, or, you know, just relaxing. And that's really where it comes from, is this place of I'm helping people connect again with communication. And I think that's, at the end of the day, that's the most important thing is communication, you know, in personal relationships, in business. And if you want to, you know, let's talk about business for a second. If you want to become, if you want to work your way up in your own job, if you're an entrepreneur, if you want to build a business, you know, if you're not an entrepreneur and you work for somebody and you want to get that raise, you know, I challenge that to ask you, are you connecting with people that you work with? Are you looking to just provide value and not just take, you know, you're not just looking to take a raise. It's when you come from that place of giving value and that place of communication, it literally levels every area of your life up. And we live longer. You know, that's the research I tell everybody when I see someone with hearing losses. You know, when you get help for your hearing and you communicate and you're not withdrawing from conversation, you're going to live longer because you're going to feel happier that you're connected with other people.
Yep. You know, completely agree.
It's so powerful that
yep.
anything we do is communication when you really break
yep.
it down.
And I understand that more than most, because coming out of the stroke, I could not talk. And so it is a strange situation that you find yourself in when you were able to communicate yesterday, but you can't communicate today. And so, yeah, that's just a powerful industry that I think you're in. So kudos to you.
Thanks, Matthew. You know, when my undergrad, I had to also take a lot. I also have a background in speech pathology, and I'll tell you, it's interesting. Yeah, when you told me that story of the stroke, I just think of, there was an example of a gentleman. He came in and he had a massive stroke, and he has a very serious language aphasia now. What language aphasia is, basically just like you said, it affected his language. And he was a gentleman who was very well traveled, very intelligent, and before the stroke had spoken 7 languages. And when he came in for therapy, he could barely speak a few words of English. It was just unbelievable. Yeah, he would, and the way that I was actually just observing, the way the speech pathologist was helping him was they were creating this like book that he would carry around that had images and things that he would point to that would help him communicate, like almost like a display board. And it was really, it was mind blowing, you know?
Yeah. Where is he at now, if you don't mind me asking?
This was a few years ago. I was in my undergrad, so yeah. I haven't, you know, I've lost kind of touch with the undergrad program. But I know he had made it, when I saw him, he was already a few months or a year into his therapy, so he was already starting to form some sentences. But they said that he would probably, this was, a, you know, he wasn't going to go much beyond that. And it was really just him building compensatory strategies to continue to help him communicate. But man, talk about, like, that is one thing that I think all of us take for granted, is the ability to speak and to communicate.
Yeah. And to you listeners out there that are going through something like that, my only advice would be is that tomorrow can be a better day than today, but there's a lot of work that has to be involved, and unfortunately that goes on you. But what I can say is, if you'll just let someone know that you need some help, people will come running. That's at least what I found. I found that when I was able to say, I need help, or able to write that down, or able to communicate that to somebody else, people came to my side, but they only came when I expressed that in some way. So it's okay to express that in whatever way you can, but express it to somebody.
So powerful. And you know, Matthew, I think you've said this, so, you know, multiple times between, you know, yesterday and today, but this is, I just want to come to this last question that I want to ask you. And I like to ask all my guests is, if you were suddenly at the end of your life and you were reflecting on all that you've been through and all that you've created, what kind of impact would you want to be remembered for?
Mm, the most awesome question I've heard while being interviewed. I would say that I want to be remembered for a few things. That would be first that I'm a great husband to my wife now. That I want to be a dad that showed his kids that it was a big world and they could do anything, but that they had to work to get what they obtained in life. And I would say that about me personally, I would just hope that I provided some sort of light to someone along their journey, because I would say that it can be a very negative place to live in when we think that the world's falling and nobody's kind. Because I'm going to tell you, if you think that nobody's kind, then you're probably only going to notice people that aren't very kind. But if you'll notice people that are kind, and you'll notice people that are positive and providing you with value, more of those people will come into your life. And so I would just hope that I'm one of those people to someone along their journey.
Thank you, Matthew. You definitely have been to me. It's really just been an honor, really a pleasure to connect with you, because every time, you know, we talk, I just walk away with so much value. So, and I know everybody listening can definitely say the same thing. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Dr. Tom. I like to be really specific when I'm thanking people for what they've done. And so thank you, Dr. Tom, for just being just a person that is the person like I want to find myself around, which is super positive, super helpful, and providing people with different avenues that they can connect with you. And so thank you for doing that. And thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. That's awesome. And I always love hearing stuff like that and doing these conversations. And I feel it right now, man. Like, I love in my chest, like, I feel just this calmness and peace when I have these types of conversations. So again, thank you. And Matthew, what's the best way that everybody can reach out to you right now?
If they will email Matthew, MATTHEW, at dooverlife.com and start a conversation with me. Talk about what you're struggling with, and I'll tell you all the things that I'm struggling with.
Awesome, man. Everybody is, I could definitely speak for everybody that we're all inspired, and it was just awesome hearing your personal stories and from, you know, the places that sharing from, you know, where it's coming from and sharing that. So thank you so much. And everybody's well aware they could find everything. Just going to positivityeffect.com and putting your name right in that search bar. I'm going to cut it right here. So Matthew, thank you so much, man, for coming on.
Thanks once again for having me on. I hope I provided you and your listeners with something.
Absolutely did. Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay. Yep.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together, we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.